You're listening to Hardwired with Jeff Wickwire. Here's what's coming up in today's edition.
We're sinking and spiraling fast, and only a miracle of God is going to get America out of this. And I pray for America every day. I've never been more concerned about my country than I am right now, not ever. And I pray for America that God would wake us up to the fact that money won't make you happy. Money won't satisfy you. Money is no God at all. You can have it one day, lose it the next. It makes itself wings and it flies away. Only one thing stays, and that is the one who sticks closer than a brother. His name is Jesus, and he is God.
In the face of the world's turmoil, do you know you can enact divine change and rescue lives? In today's message, Pastor Jeff urges you to become a catalyst for the gospel, illuminating the path to eternal salvation with Jesus for endless souls. Amidst the chaos, let your light shine brightly, guiding others toward the unending hope in God's love and grace. Take up the mantle of responsibility, knowing that each soul you guide towards Jesus has the potential to transform countless eternities. Well, let's join Pastor Jeff in the book of Mark, chapter 4, as he continues his message, choked by cares and worries.
You have been risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above, not on the earth. See, we are to be heavenly minded, and I don't believe you can be so heavenly minded you're no earthly good. I believe the more heavenly minded you are, the more earthly good you become. So, Jesus said, first of all, you got to watch out for those worries, because those worries, that worry can choke the word of God in you, where you don't focus on the right things. You're focused on what you're afraid of. You're focused on what you're worried about. Did you know that if you read the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 6, three times Jesus commands us to not be worriers, not be worry warts, not to worry about things? Three times. He doesn't say, I want you to pray about not worrying, or I want you to consider not worrying. He says, do not worry. Command. He tells us three times. Now, I got to tell you, this is a confession. I come from a worrying family. My dad was a worrier, a professional. He had his graduate degree in worrying. Now, I love my dad. My dad was a great guy. He's with the Lord now, but boy, could he worry. And his whole family, they were all worriers. Worrying was the way that they learned to respond to stress. I have relatives in New York. If you don't want to worry about it, call them. They'll worry for you and take it off your shoulders. They will worry for you. I mean, they are worriers. You talk to any of them, and in 1 minute flat, you're going to hear what they're worried about. It'll turn you into a worrier. If you're not careful, you'll catch it. But Jesus said, I don't want you to worry. Worry won't solve one thing for you. You can't make yourself taller by worrying about it. You can't make one hair white or black. But as a matter of fact, you worry more, it'll turn it gray. Listen to what Jesus said. Why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. Here's Jesus walking down a pathway with his disciples. He's talking about worry. And he turns and looks at a field, and there's flowers in that field. And he says, look at those flowers. Look, guys, look over there. Are they not beautiful? Even a sunflower, is it not gorgeous? He says, look at that. Look how God dressed that flower. He said, if he spent that much time making something like a little sunflower look so pretty, he says, don't you know if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today, thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you? Why do you have so little faith? So here's the first thing we get from Jesus. Don't worry about what you're gonna wear. God will clothe you. God knows what you need before you tell him what you need. Do you think that God didn't know that you needed clothes? That you needed the basic necessities of life? You know, I say all the time, and I'll say it again, there's two things God never says. He never says, oops. And he never says, well, I'll be. When you go to him and you say, Lord, I just need this and I need that, he doesn't turn to the Son and say to the Son of God, did you know they needed that? I didn't know that. Gabriel, did you know they needed that? He never says, well, I'll be. He says, I knew what you needed before you even asked me. You didn't need, listen, I didn't need you to tell me. You needed to tell me so that you can build your faith and watch how I provide for you. Because I can't deny you. If I deny you, I deny myself because you're a part of me. So I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide for you. Don't worry about it. Don't get up and worry about it. Now, the next thing he says, don't worry about, he says, don't worry about your basic provisions. He said, don't worry about these things saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? He says, your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of these things. God knows you need food. God knows you need drink. Listen, God knows you need a job. God knows you need money. He knows you need a home. He knows about your bills. He knows about the stresses that are coming against you. He knows about the needs of your life better than you do. And he doesn't say, well, I'll be when you tell him about it. He already knew. And can I go ahead and tell you, your ram is coming up the other side of the hill already. He's going to provide for you. That's when God was named Jehovah Jireh, when Abraham was going to sacrifice his son. And God stopped him. And then Abraham turned and saw a ram caught in the bushes just over yonder. And do you know that the whole while that Abraham was carrying Isaac up that mountain, that ram was walking up the other side of the mountain, and God knew what he was going to need. And when he laid his son on that altar, the ram was right about then arriving just over here. And when he stopped him, God had already provided the ram. He's already got your job. He's already got your raise. He's already got your clothes. He's already got your health. He's already got what you need. He's a provider. And he's a good one. And Jesus said, don't worry about your provision. I'm going to take care of you. So promise number two is he's going to take care of your basic needs. Now listen carefully to Jesus' observation about the trap that worry-driven people fall into. Here's what happens to worriers. These things, Jesus says, dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. Now catch that. What things? Worrying about clothes, worrying about what you're going to eat, worrying about what you're going to drink, worried about the cares of this life. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Let me tell you a little secret about you and me. Something dominates everybody's day. Something dominates your thoughts every day. Have you ever noticed when you wake up in the morning, the devil makes a play for your thoughts? Have you ever noticed that? I mean, you're not up for 60 seconds, and all of a sudden, first thing that comes into your mind is something to worry about. What about that money? What about those bills? What about those kids? They're kind of going crazy, aren't they? What about your spouse? What about your marriage? What about this? What about that? What if this? What if that? You know, worry hinges on what if. Worry is a fear. What's that ache you're feeling? Have you worried about that today? The devil make a play for your mind. And you know what? The devil wants you fellowshipping with what you're worried about instead of fellowshipping with God. Did you know the Bible tells us not to fellowship with demons? And did you know the Bible calls fear a spirit? And do you know that when you get up and you worry and you get on that hamster's wheel of worry and you're worrying, worrying, worrying about whatever it is, you're fellowshipping with fear. And God has not given you a spirit of fear, the Bible says, but of power and love and a sound mind. So that's why I say, when you get up in the morning, get with God. No Bible, no breakfast. They go, Pastor, I can't read if I don't eat. Yeah, you can. It's an acquired taste. Just get up and get into the Bible and get your mind set on the things of God so that you're fellowshipping with him and not with what the enemy wants to put on your mind first thing in the morning. Is anybody hearing me today? I know this is the way people are. Jesus' solution for worry is very simple. Trust God and seek first the kingdom of God. Don't worry about it. He said, worry will strangle and choke the word of God in your life, or you don't produce any fruit. You don't have time to focus on the things of God. You're too busy worrying. You say, how was your devotional time? Oh, I had a great hour with worry. Somebody said worry is like a dark room where negatives are developed. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but you don't get anywhere. Worry is like being on a hamster's wheel. You're putting all kinds of energy into something, but you go nowhere. You travel nowhere. It settles nothing. So you got to be a good caster. He said, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. You say, Pastor Jeff, how do I stop worrying? Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Well, how do I get rid of it? 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now, I have East Texas friends here today. In East Texas, you fish. You either hunt deer or you fish. If you don't fish or hunt deer, you can't fit in. And you got to play dominoes on top of that. But when I was in East Texas, pastoring in East Texas, I learned to fish. I learned to bass fish. And in bass fishing, you cast. You cast that lure out there, and you let it sit for a minute, and then you reel it in. Now, that's great for fishing, but it's terrible for casting your cares. Because here's the way most Christians live. They cast that care upon the Lord. There it is. It drops into his hand. Then about an hour later, we're reeling it back. Say, why are you worrying about it? I'm just concerned God dropped off on the job. God's not doing his job. I got to be sure God takes care of it. God does it right. So I'm going to worry about it again. And we reel it back in. No, when you cast a care upon the Lord, you cut the line. And you leave it there. Because if you don't, you're not going to have the ability to focus on the things of God. And that's what it's all about. Say with me, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then it says, all these things, clothing, food, and drink, will be added to you as a side benefit. See, that's what people don't understand. You want to see God move in your life? Put him first. Now, Jesus said also, not only not worrying about your provision issues, but he said, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will bring its own worries. Do you know that James said, go to now, you who say today and tomorrow, I'm going to go into such and such a city and buy and sell and get gain. He said, when you don't know what tomorrow brings. See, how can you worry about something that you don't know what it's going to bring? Because it may look dark today, but you don't know what God's got for you tomorrow. Can I give you a little secret? God is already in your tomorrow waiting for you to arrive. He's already there. David said, let me tell you what God's doing with you and me, believers who trust him. He said, he prepares a table before you in the very presence of your enemies. A table means a feast. He is in your tomorrow preparing a feast while the enemy watches and can't do a thing about it. He's got a blessing for you in your tomorrow. That's what hope means. Hope means I've got a confident expectation of good coming in my tomorrow. See, worry says, be afraid of tomorrow. God says, get excited about tomorrow. God says, I'm in charge of your tomorrow. And being God, I'm already there waiting for you to arrive. And when you arrive, I've got a table prepared for you in the presence of your enemies. God says, I know the thoughts I'm thinking about you. I'm thinking thoughts of good and not evil, to give you a future and to give you a hope. Our God is a God of the future and a God of hope. Christian, can I preach to you just for a minute today? You ought not be down and out. You ought not be walking around with your head hung low. You ought to be excited about what God's got in store for you. He's got a blessing for you. He's in your tomorrow, waiting for you to arrive, preparing a feast. Something incredible is in the oven, and he's going to serve you in tomorrow. So don't be afraid of tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. You don't know what tomorrow brings, but you do know who holds tomorrow. You ever wonder where some Christians are on Sunday morning? You ever wonder why some people have no joy? I look at some people who say they're Christians, and I don't want the God that did to them whatever was done to them. Your face is God's greatest billboard. You ought to walk around with a smile on your face. When you leave today, if you go to a restaurant, don't go in there dragging your feet, looking down at the ground. Go in there and smile. If you go in there looking all depressed, don't tell them you were here. What's the matter with you? Oh, I was over there at Turning Point. Oh, really? Thanks for the warning. You walk in there, hallelujah, glory to God. You got to wait 30 minutes for a table. That's okay, hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made. If you got a row there, you go in there and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Get in there with joy. Oh, my. Now, there's another thorn that chokes the word of God in your life, and let me deal with it as we close. Jesus named a second thing. He said, the chase for money can choke out our devotion to God. Now, listen to what he said. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is choked, strangled out by the deceitful lure of money and the unhealthy desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. Now, what he's talking about here is what is number one to you. He said you can worry yourself sick where you can't even focus on the things of God and you bring forth no fruit. But he's saying also, whatever you're pursuing in life, if it's not him, it'll choke the word of God out and you won't bring forth any fruit. See, I can tell you what your God is. I can tell you who your God is. It's not hard. Here's who your God is, who you pursue the most. Your God is what you love the most. Show me what you're chasing and I'll show you your God. See, right now our nation is in deep trouble. We're in $11 to $13 trillion of debt. You can't get out of that. How did we get there? Men decided that they were going to chase the dollar, sold their soul for the dollar, lied, cheated, stole, misrepresented themselves, cut corners, and they got rich for a season, but I'm going to tell you something. If you get it wrong, it'll leave wrong. And because of greed, because of the chasing for the dollar, because this nation primarily crowned the dollar our God, because of that, we're sinking and spiraling fast, and only a miracle of God is going to get America out of this, and I pray for America every day. I've never been more concerned about my country than I am right now, not ever. And I pray for America that God would wake us up to the fact that money won't make you happy, money won't satisfy you, money is no God at all. You can have it one day, lose it the next. It makes itself wings, and it flies away. Only one thing stays, and that is the one who sticks closer than a brother. His name is Jesus, and he is God. Now, I want to be real clear here that there's not anything wrong with money. There's not anything wrong with things. There's nothing wrong with stuff. Nothing wrong with material things. God gave them. As a matter of fact, 1 Timothy 6:17 says, God gives us richly all things to enjoy. But the question is, when money becomes bad, when money becomes unhealthy, is when it possesses you and you don't possess it. When you serve it rather than it serving you. See, the Bible is clear that many have departed from the faith chasing money and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I want to be rich. I want to have wealth. Great. If you're seeking God first and he's first in your life and he gives it to you, it won't ruin you. But if he's not first and you get it, it'll ruin you. Which of the two do you seek most, your money or Jesus? That's the deceitfulness of riches. He called riches deceitful. Well, what is the deceit that is in riches? The deceitfulness of riches is this, that money will make you happy. Money's not going to make you happy. I know it can't make you happy. I watch too many miserable rich people. Only one thing makes you happy. Happy. Fulfilled. And that is when your sin is covered and you come into relationship with Jesus Christ. That makes you happy. Until then, you're at war with God and at war with your conscience, at war with righteousness, and you will not be happy. The well-known American Idol judge Simon Cowell is estimated to have a fortune of $160 million. Simon is internationally famous, recognizable, hugely successful by the world standards. But according to a recent article I read this week, it's not all sunshine and daisies for Simon. He is, he confesses, prone to depression, prone to irritability, resulting in moods in which he blocks out all of the people closest to him, pushes them away. He told the Daily Mail, "If I went to a psychiatrist, it'd be a long session. I get very dark moods for no reason. Nothing in particular brings it on. You can be having the best time of your life, and yet you're utterly and totally miserable." International fame, $160 million fortune, yet Simon confesses, "I'm miserable, depressed, and irritated, and isolated." Money can't buy you happiness. Money won't buy you love. Money can buy you most things, but it can't buy you God's peace. Guarantee it. Only one currency gets you God's peace. That's the blood. Money can take you anywhere in the world, but money can't take you to heaven. Jesus warned, you cannot worship two gods at once. Loving one God, you'll end up hating the other. Adoration of one feeds contempt for the other. You can't worship God and money both, Jesus said. Can't do it. One of the two will be your God. But Americans, oh, how we have fallen for the money trap. I read recently of a 90-year-old Saluda, South Carolina man who was buried last Tuesday sitting in his favorite car. Everybody say, you can't take it with you. But he thought he could. You think I'm kidding? It goes on. An extra-large burial plot was needed on the grounds of the Rock Hill Baptist Church for the unusual funeral. Just as he had wished, Lonnie Holloway was laid to rest sitting behind the wheel of his green 1972 Pontiac Catalina that he bought new. I'm sorry, this really got me. If I'm going to be buried, it's going to at least be in a Rolls Royce. Not a 1972 Pontiac Catalina. Are you ready for this? This is true. He was strapped into the driver's seat with one hand placed on the steering wheel. As Holloway and the car were lowered into the ground, friends and family snapped photos. Also in the car were his six pistols and several rifles. He might need them where he's going to end up. But let me tell you something for sure. Mr. Holloway took none of it with him into eternity. He didn't even know that it was there. Jesus warns that if we let these three things, a hard heart that doesn't receive the word, or a stony heart where it can't put down roots and it's plucked up, or this heart where the seed is sown among thorns, cares, and the pursuit of the wrong stuff. Those three things will choke that word, pluck that word up, or let the devil steal it out of our heart. He wants us to be the good soil.
If you're tired of carrying the world's weight on your shoulders, Pastor Jeff tells you today that it's time to surrender it all to God. You're not meant to bear your most challenging burdens alone. Let God carry your worries and anxieties, and watch as you blossom into the person you've always longed to be. When you release the control and trust in His divine guidance, you'll find peace and freedom beyond measure like you've never experienced before.
Hello friends, Pastor Jeff Wickwire here from Hardwired, heard on this station. I'm so thrilled to share our latest gift of the month with you, the Stand Strong Men's Paperback Journal. This beautiful journal is a powerful way to keep track of what God speaks to you from day to day. For any donation of over $25, this journal will be yours. Just visit hardwired.org today, click Donate Now, and make your donation to receive this inspiring journal. Thank you for all your support of Hardwired.
Do you realize the Lord sees every worry and stress weighing your heart? Do you know He constantly yearns to break the shackles that bind you? Next time on Hardwired, Pastor Jeff implores you, instead of shouldering your burdens alone, to leave them at the door by leaving them at the foot of the cross. Let go of the need to fix everything by yourself and embrace the hope that comes from surrendering to God's perfect grace. Let Him transform you from the inside out. There's more Pastor Jeff has to share from the book of Mark, so be sure to join us again. And if you missed any part of today's teaching, you can find it online at hardwired.org. We're happy we could be part of your day today, and we pray today's edition of Hardwired has blessed you.